We will stay in Matthew 5. Let's begin reading in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I almost couldn't keep from laughing a little bit as I was reading verse 16 there, because some people's idea of letting their light so shine before men is maybe a little bit strange, but not yours, I'm sure. Notice the manner he said to let your light so shine before men is so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If that's not the end result, well, then you're doing it the wrong way, obviously. He didn't say, let your light so shine before men that they may see how great you are and that they'll think you're super duper. But it's to be a reflection on your Father in heaven. And of course, we must reflect that glory back or give it to who it belongs, and that is to our Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, our helper. Well, you're the salt of the earth. Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. Oh, there's a lot of good things you can talk about salt. I'll make a whole series on this if you wanted to. What is the purpose of salt? Well, it was a preservative. It preserves from rotting, from corruption. And it's certainly true in that sense that if it wasn't for the body of Christ, if it wasn't for those of us that are Christians here in the earth holding back the evil with our prayers and intercessions and our presence and so forth, that this world would be a lot more rotten than it is. You're the salt of the earth. And we're supposed to protect and keep from corruption and rottenness. And we're supposed to be a preserving factor in the earth. Also, of course, one of the characteristics I'm sure you're familiar with of salt is that it makes you thirsty. And people should become thirsty for what? For the things of God, for what you've got when they're around you. They should realize that you have something good, and they should become thirsty for the living water that Christ has to satisfy the inner man, the water of life that he gives freely. You're supposed to make people thirsty. You're the salt of the earth. You're supposed to have an effect on people. Make them thirsty. You know the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But if you feed him some salt, well, I'm sure that'll help a lot in making him desire to drink. And that's the way it is with we as Christians. If we try to hogtie somebody and get them around the neck and lead them to Christ like that, well, we might lead them to Christ, but it doesn't mean that they're going to really accept Christ as Lord like they need to. And what they need is to become thirsty for a deeper dimension of life, a greater fullness of life, for the joy and the peace and the inner satisfaction that you and I enjoy. You say, well, how am I going to do that? How does salt do its job? How does a tree grow its fruit? It says that you may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And if you relate that back to John 15th chapter, well, Jesus said, you'll bring forth much fruit, and so shall you glorify the Father. How does a tree grow its fruit? How does a salt be salty? Pretty tough question, isn't it? It doesn't do it by a lot of effort, does it? It's just what it is. It's just a natural thing. It's just the natural result. It's just the way it happens. And if you're being what God has made you to be, you're walking with God, your light will be shining. He doesn't say, try to make your light shine, just let it shine. See, you can cover up or you can hold back, but if you just will be what you are in Christ, well, you're going to, not that you're going to be planning to do it necessarily, but you're going to be that kind of a force that's going to make people hungry and thirsty for what you've got. They're going to see that there's something different. They may not understand it, but they're going to realize there's something different. And then, of course, as you have opportunity, you should tell them what the difference is. Because if they say, boy, you always manage to do real good here. You always manage to seem to have things under control and such. And you just say, well, thank you. That's great. My mother was that way. Well, that doesn't bring glory to God, does it? That's your opportunity to say, well, praise the Lord. The Lord helps me. I didn't used to be able to do this, but now the Lord is my helper, and it's great. Well, they may think you're a little strange, but that's not going to offend them. And that's the only way that people are going to know that God really gets the credit, is if you give Him the credit. Because otherwise, they're liable to think, well, you're just a strong personality. You're just, you know, you're probably born rich or born strong, and you just have that ability. And, well, even if you were, it wasn't because of anything you did, was it? It was because of God's grace. You're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. In other words, if it wasn't for you, the world would be in darkness. You're the light of the world. You're the hope that this world has to see its way out of the mess that it's in. Without light, you're going to remain in the darkness, aren't you? But it only takes a little bitty light to overcome the darkness. Praise the Lord. You could have this, in this building, every light turned off. And in the middle of the night at its darkest, and you could light one little match over in the corner and you could see it. It wouldn't take a great big light, but just a little light is going to be noticeable, isn't it? Well, Jesus said this. We know He told the truth. Either that or He told a lie. And He didn't tell a lie, or He's a liar. He's not a liar. He's trustworthy. He said, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And then He said to let your light, or allow your light to shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now I'd like to ask you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read several other scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Excuse me. Now, we're talking today about living the Christian life 7 days a week, about being a Christian and letting your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We need to realize that the Scripture is given to us to act upon, to put into practice, not just to put on a plaque and hang it on our wall, not just to memorize, not just to listen to the preacher talk about, not just to read so we can say we've read through the Bible, But the main purpose of the Word of God is for us to act upon it. It's instructions given for us to act upon. Many times, if not most of the time, it goes opposite to what we're used to doing because of our training in the world system. And so many people are hypocrites as Christians. I'm sure many of them don't mean to be so much, but it's just the fact that they don't know that God's Word is not just something for us to talk about, but it's something that actually works. God didn't give us His Word to get us into trouble. He gave us His Word to get us out of trouble and to keep us out of trouble. And if we have faith in His love and His wisdom, we're going to act on His Word instead of thinking, well, you know, that's fine for Him to preach about, that's fine for Him to talk about, but you just don't understand my situation. If I acted like that out in the world, well, people would just take advantage of me, and out there it's different. I'm a Christian, yes, but business, that's different. Out there in the business world, out there in real life, well, it's dog-eat-dog, and it's different, and that's just not the way things are done. Well, we're not interested in the way things have been done. We're interested, or ought to be interested, in the way that God said things would work. Say, but I couldn't make I couldn't be successful if I did these things and acted like God told me to. Well, God didn't have any problem making Adam and Eve pretty rich, did He? He didn't have any problem making Noah rich. He was pretty rich, wasn't He? Owned a lot of real estate. Of course, He didn't have many people to sell it to, but God didn't have any trouble making Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or David or Solomon rich. He didn't have any trouble taking care of Jesus and keeping Him from starving to death. These people acted on God's instructions. They weren't always thought of as the most logical and reasonable people of their times either. But God took care of them and blessed them, didn't He? There were people in their day that thought they were crazy too. But that didn't stop the blessings of God from coming on them and overtaking them. We need to have enough boldness to get serious about the Word of God and either act on it and live by it, or else realize that we're deceiving ourselves. We need to act on these things. It's pretty easy to let these things slip. Well, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule. That means act as an umpire. Make final decisions in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Well, there's a lot of good advice. Be ruled by that peace in your heart. The devil's not going to be able to counterfeit that. And be thankful. Well, that's what you're supposed to do on Mondays as well as Sunday mornings. That's what you're supposed to do Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday noon all the time. Be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And also let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it live in you richly in abundance. Hallelujah. Teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Servants, or we could say employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Not just while they're watching you, not with eye service, not just doing the right thing while you're being watched, but all the time. Verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now that's a very important thing for you to realize right there. You serve the Lord Christ. You're serving the Lord when you're working on your job. You're serving the Lord if you're a housewife, cleaning the house, washing the dishes, cleaning the clothes, making the meals. You're serving the Lord Christ. See, if people would realize this, they'd get frustrated a lot less. Because a lot of women, some women, they get frustrated because they think their husband just doesn't appreciate them. Well, I work all day and I pick up these dirty socks and I scrub the floor and nobody even appreciates it. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward, for you serve the Lord Christ. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ likes for you to do a good job, and you're serving Him? You're working at that job, whatever it is. You may think, well, these so-and-sos, they just kind of make me feel a little about halfway mad anyway, the way they act, and I just had about all I can take, and well, easy to think like that. And you can be sure the devil is going to be right over here to put into your mind some ideas to help you along on that same track, to push you on further, to bring to your remembrance things that they've done wrong to you, times they've taken advantage of you, things they haven't been fair with you in. You can be sure the devil will help you remember all of that. He won't let you forget one little thing. But we need to remember that we are supposed to be working as unto the Lord. Why? Because we're bought with a price and we belong to the Lord. And you're full time for Jesus, whether you knew it or not. Your full time ministry, that means service. Ministry is a word that means service. And your full time ministry for the Lord, whether you work at Mountain Bell or Western Electric or Mobil Oil or as a housewife or wherever you work, you're in full-time ministry for the Lord. That means full-time service. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it says right here, verse 24, you serve the Lord Christ. And he's talking about servants or employees. You're serving Christ. You say, well, how can that be? These are a bunch of ungodly people. My boss is an ungodly person, and he does this and that and the other. Well, I'd like to remind you of this fact, that the Bible says that God loves the world. I'd like to remind you of this fact. In fact, you could go back over to Matthew 5, Luke 6, and find these things, where it says that the Lord is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Does that describe your employer? Well, if they're unthankful, if they're unappreciative of your efforts and they're evil, well, then that says that the Lord is kind to those kind of people. Well, you're His arms, you're His legs, you're the body of Christ. How's He going to be kind to them? How's He going to return kindness for evil except through you? You say, oh, I'm just not strong enough to do that. Maybe Jesus could do that. Maybe Jesus could go around being nice and doing good to evil people. But not me. I'm Irish. By that I meant, well, I just have an Irish temper. You know, I just can't be that way. Wait a minute. You're forgetting who you are in Christ. You're a new creature. You're supposed to act like who you really are, not just be molded into this world's way of doing things, but you're supposed to let that life that's within you be released. And that's why you need instruction from God's Word, so you know how it's supposed to operate. You serve the Lord Christ. You see, Jesus is interested in being so kind to those people and doing such a good job for them through you that it'll get their attention. Christians should be the best workers, not the worst. Christians should be the most dependable, not slough-offs. Christians should do the best job of anybody. They have superior wisdom, for one thing. They have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to help them. You say, but you just don't know what it's like. You just don't know how tough it is. It's easy for you, being a pastor, to say these things. Well, I wasn't born a pastor. I've been around a little bit. And I know it's not always easy. There's been times in my own life when there was very great temptation, very great pressure not to act on the Word. But I'm happy to say, if not always, at least some of the time, I acted on it and it worked. And I was so glad. I was so glad. I remember one time in my life that I was in a particularly great time of pressure in a job I was working at. It was such a problem area that I realized that I needed to spend more time in prayer and that I needed to pray before I got around that place, or else I wasn't going to be able to make it. And so I did. I started, of course, had to get up earlier and go and pray. But that made a tremendous difference. It helped a lot. Well, the same thing with you. You can expect just in yourself, just trusting in yourself, just to be a perfect person and always go around being kind and doing good. No, you can't. You can't do that. But if you'll walk with the Lord, stay in fellowship with Him, and spend time in prayer and communion with God, well, then you'll be enabled. You'll be our partaker of that heavenly atmosphere. When you spend time with God like that, will you soak up that peace from Him? Oh, it's in you, but I think you can understand it that way, is that as you spend time in God's presence, these good things just sort of rub off on you. Now it's in you, in your recreated spirit, but what I'm saying is that as we're around God, we're going to be able to act like God. You're not going to just be able to just kind of flop along in your Christian life and expect to operate in these things I'm talking about. But if you'll get diligent in prayer, if you'll be diligent in the Word, I guarantee you can do it. You can be what God created you to be. Whether it's to your husband, to your wife, your parents, all of these things, whether it's your boss, you're serving the Lord Christ. And whether your husband appreciates it or not, or your wife, or your children, Jesus appreciates it, and you're serving Him. Do you understand, or would you like for me to write it out? You're serving Jesus, and He appreciates it. And not only that, but He is going to pay you for it. He's going to reward you for it. It's going to be worth it all. And you need to keep your eyes on Jesus and not on somebody else. And not get discouraged because you're not getting the recognition or the credit or the appreciation or whatever or the raises from somewhere else. I'll tell you, Jesus is fair. And if you will do it as unto Him, He will reward you, He'll take care of you, He'll promote you, He'll bless you, He'll make it worthwhile. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Some of the same thoughts here, expressed a little differently. Begin reading in verse 5, servants. Again, this could be employees. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Now let's stop there. This, I'm assuming that you're smart enough to realize that God is not telling you that if your employer tells you to go rob a bank that you're supposed to do it. I trust that you, and assume that you have that much intelligence that you're to obey God rather than man when it comes to doing things that are dishonest and illegal and not according to the law, not according to God's law. You're not going to bring glory to God and be able to be a witness and let your light shine by just going along with all of that. You're going to have some standards. You're going to have some principles. You're going to have some decisions made beforehand that you're not going to just float along with the world's way just because everybody else does it. When he's talking about here, be obedient to those that are your masters according to the flesh, he doesn't mean to do wrong. He's not saying, well, whatever it takes, just do it, lie or steal or cheat or whatever. He's talking about just in normal things. They tell you to go take out the trash. Well, go take out the trash. Don't stand there and argue and complain and fight and fuss. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're hired to do. Do more than you're supposed to do. You'll get somebody's attention. You'll get God's attention first. And I'm sure you'll attract other attention also. Going on then, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. If you can get into your thinking, I'm serving Jesus Christ on this job, then it'll make a big difference in your attitude. I'm serving Jesus Christ. Well, how are you going to serve Jesus Christ? In a lackadaisical, haphazard, sloppy manner? I hope not. In sincerity of heart as to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service, verse 7 says, as to the Lord and not to men. Doing it as to the Lord, not just to get man's approval. Now, one thing about God is that he doesn't just stop telling you, well, do good. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those that do good. God doesn't just say, well, this is the right way, and you do it because I said it's the right way, and don't ask any questions. But he says, this is the right way, and if you do it, it's better for you. It's not just better because I say it's better, but it's better for you. There's a reward. There's a payment. There's a profit. Excuse me. In Timothy it says, godliness is profitable unto all things. It's profitable. It pays off. It's beneficial. So he goes on in verse 8 and says, knowing, see, you're to do this with this knowledge. If you didn't have this knowledge, sometimes it might get a little tough. But if you can remember, I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ in what I'm doing, and I know this, that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's slave or free, whether he's an apostle or a layman, whether he's a pope or just a regular person, whether he's working for somebody else or whether he works for himself. Knowing that whatever good that you do to anybody, the Lord is going to see that that's given back to you. In other words, it's going to be multiplied back to you. Hallelujah. There's going to be a reward. There's going to be a payoff. It's going to be worth it. You're going to be glad. Jesus is going to bless you. And I trust you realize that he's not limited to just your boss or just your husband or just your situation, is he? You say, oh, he could never get my boss to bless me. Well, I believe he could. He got old Pharaoh to turn loose of the children of Israel. Blessed them pretty good with a lot of gold and silver and all that. You say, oh, no, he couldn't with my boss. Well, if he can't, then he's got some other way to do it. He's got another method. He's got another way, another method. Strike oil in your backyard. Of course, you might not want to oil well there, but God has unlimited resources and unlimited methods and unlimited ways to get his blessings to you. If he runs short, he can create some new one. He's a creator. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, whatever good anyone does, anyone, whatever good anyone does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether no matter who he is. And then he says in verse 9, you masters do the same things to them. In other words, if you're a boss, if you have employees, if you're an employer with employees, well, you treat them right. Giving up threatening. In other words, they're not supposed to just be working in an atmosphere of fear. Knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. He loves them just as he loves you. Well, Jesus said we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to be different in our lives. And if that doesn't show forth to others, if it doesn't have an effect on who we're around, well then, something's not quite right. Because Jesus didn't say go out and act like salt, go out and try to be salt, go out and do your best to be salt. He said you are salt. He didn't say go out and try to build your light up great and go out and try to turn your light on. He said you are the light of the world. We should make a difference by our lives, by our presence, wherever we are. And that doesn't mean that it'll happen, all the results of it, the final results, final fruit will happen overnight. We have to be faithful and diligent and realize that we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're working for Him. He's the one that pays us. He's the one that rewards us.